Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tom, what does a happy relationship mean to you?
A happy relationship? Gee, what springs to mind is like looking at, because my parents have a very good relationship.
Lucky they're not normal these days.
I know. That's what sticks me at times. I'm like, how can everyone be unhappy? Look at the example I was raised under. But what they have is they're sort of safe and secure together. They can share the stupid nonsense dreams and all those things because there's that baseline of safety and security. So I think that's would be my answer. That's what I strive for in my relationship.
Yeah, I really like that, having that feeling of like reassurance without needing reassurance. So you just don't even need to check in on the relationship because you know it's there. But it takes a lot to get there.
Yes.
And you've got to ditch some of your baggage to get there sometimes.
Absolutely.
As well.
That unspoken safety and that all those unspoken things.
Yeah.
You have to work to get there.
Communication is always a happy relationship to me.
Yes,
you know how much I love good communication. If there's not good communication, I feel like you can't really ever feel properly safe in a relationship, right?
Communication is essential.
Yes.
That's an essential component to get to where you want to be.
Yes.
In a relationship.
Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
Hello,
I'm
everyone.
Liz Best.
I'm Tom Harris.
And today we've got a guest because it is one of our main episodes and we're talking to a little bit of an expert today, relationships expert, author, public speaker, Simone Melissus. So in terms of being, you know, a bit of an expert, you've gone and written a book. So tell us about the book that you've written about relationships. Are you sure you want one?
Okay, so I actually wrote this with a guy that I was with for 8 years, and a lot of people were asking us about how we created our relationship because we did have a really good one. It was really honoring, it was fun, etc. And we both do seminars. So people started asking us and we went, well, let's put this into a book. So we did. Now, here's where the plot thickens. As we released the book, and it's a question. Relationship, are you sure you want one? Because that's what we wanted to do. We wanted people to question, not actually go, oh, I have to have a relationship, that makes me right. Because that has been something that's come across for ages. Single's wrong, you know, and then people fight to be single. And it's like, no, what if it was all a choice? But as we actually launched the book, we were in America and we had all these interviews and everything, and we broke up our relationship.
Oh!
Our PR agent nearly had a minor heart attack, but we were like, don't worry, we got this. Because the whole thing about it is you have choice. And for me, it's like, if you're going to choose a relationship, make sure it's good. And when you recognize that maybe this relationship is not heading in the direction you want, what if you could actually sit down with that person and be like, you know what, have we done what we were meant to do together? And is it time for us to choose something different? And I would really like people to have the freedom with relationship, not have something where it's they choose it based on necessity. It's always a choice that works for them.
Simone, you are speaking my language. This is something that I've long said on this podcast. So I'm single by choice for about, 3 and a bit, nearly 4 years now, after being in back-to-back terrible relationships where I was terrified to be alone. So I would jump using my boyfriends as life rafts, really. Like I would jump from one relationship to the next, and it took me a really long time to realize that I was miserable, and I'm so much happier now choosing to be alone. So the fact that this book exists makes me so happy.
That's right. It's something I've sort of queried on the podcast as well in previous episodes, is society's attached so much worth to being in a relationship that when you're not in one, I get this sort of sense of a desperation or a worry or a I'm not in a relationship right now, therefore I'm like failing or not in the, I don't know, not doing well.
People project that onto me a lot, actually. There's a lot of people who are just like, oh, you'll find someone. And I'm like, not looking.
Yeah, that's right. We don't need it.
I know. Yeah, I know what you mean. And I love the way you mentioned that, Tom, about like people look at themselves as failing. To me, the only time you're a failure is if you're not choosing something that works for you.
That's
like,
right.
If you're in a relationship and it's bad and it's like, stop it. Like, stop it. This is your life. It's like, start living it the way you'd like to live it. And you are definitely not a failure if you... if you're single and you're loving it. The thing that I see is when people always want something different, and most people hate it when I say this, but if you're not in a relationship and you say you want one, you don't actually desire one, because you literally create what shows up in your life. So if you're single, you're choosing to be single. If you're in a relationship, you're choosing to be single. So, and whatever it is, just make sure it's great. Have fun.
Absolutely. So look, what are some of the signs that people should not be in a relationship? Say they're in a long-term relationship and they're heading towards the altar. What are some signs that they potentially should be choosing a different path for themselves?
Well, the one main thing I would say is, you know, like, you know when it's not working. It's like, I mean, we talk about our gut instinct. That's a real thing. You actually know when it's not working. Like, if you're coming home, you know, and the old story of like, you know, the car's parked in the driveway and you're like, damn, and you do a couple of laps around or you go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Then what are you getting married for? What are you continuing the relationship for? So, but start to have a look at that, like exactly what you said, Liz, that you went from, you know, life raft to life raft, which is man to man, thinking that that was your safety zone and that was going to make you happy, but realizing that you're actually not in some great relationships, or they weren't that much fun. And it's like, so recognize that you're gonna be okay if you're on your own. You don't need someone to be in a relationship with. So the first thing I always ask a lot of the times when we're doing a seminar too is, what if you decided you need a relationship for? Because so many people go, oh, someone to look after me. So I have a partner in crime, or I have this, or I have that. And it's like, or, you know, wealth creation. I mean, if you look historically, that's why people created relationships. Mm. That's why they got married, was to create wealth. So are we still functioning from old reference points rather than, we're in a brand new era, and we're literally in a brand new era right now in our world. And it's like, what are you going to choose? Choose something that works for you.
Yeah, look, I do have to say, as a single person, the world definitely is financially set up for couples. It's
absolutely,
something that I'm
absolutely
finding quite difficult to deal with. But I think we should start normalizing friends going in on buying things together, and people who are actually like your relationship soulmates don't have to be a romantic partner, right?
Mm. A little upsetting that the world is now structured in a way where we can't just have the nice things that we want. We have to go
no
in.
No matter how hard
we
work.
We have to chip in as a group to buy the nice thing. But yes, it's
a
nice thought.
I'm actually
thought.
Going to look at some properties this afternoon with my ex's sister and looking at buying it with her, because she wants to live on land, and I'm like, I'd like to invest in some, so let's have a look at it together.
I want to normalize that deal. That's amazing. So can we go back to the fact that you broke up with somebody that you were on a press tour with after writing a book about relationships?
Yeah, that would have been.
How did you guys navigate that breakup amicably, I guess?
Look, To be totally honest, it's like, he broke up with me, and I definitely did the trauma and drama for a little bit and was like, oh my God, I'm devastated, and did that whole thing. But then, I don't know, me being me, I sort of went, all right, what's actually really going on? And I looked at it and went, he actually knew. Like, our relationship, we have a great friendship. We're still friends. We work together. And the relationship was great, probably for about seven and a half years. In the last 6 months, it was definitely like this maintaining energy rather than creating.
Mm.
And I think if you're going to be in a relationship, you need to, you know, create at least 20 times more together than what you would alone. And we definitely did that for quite a few years. So when I sort of, you know, stopped being a whining girl, I'm allowed to say it because I did it.
Yeah,
and then
own
it's
it.
Like, yeah, because I was like, I'm taking everything. Like, I really did the trauma and drama, but it wasn't for very long. And then I went, well, hang on a second. We created this house together. We created that together. You know, let's move on. And we actually did take a bottle of wine, go out into our veranda, and we both went, all right, what's going on for each other? What's up? And we were willing to go to World War III, is what I want to say. And
right.
We had one of the best conversations we've ever had. And one of the tools that we used, we said to each other, okay, let's look at this and let's write down three things each that we want from this breakup. And immediately I was like, well, it's like, who gets the house? Who gets the dog? Who gets, you know, all that sort of thing. And it was interesting when we went away and we gave ourselves the space to do that. We came back and at the top of our list, both of us went, I want to be your friend. Because essentially we were really good friends. And I'm not, that doesn't happen in every relationship.
No.
But it did happen with both of us. So we definitely had to work on our friendship and we still work on our friendship and we've still got each other's back and we're there for each other. And that, the interviews that we did in America were hilarious because some of them were like, you know, in awe and they were fun and whatever. And some just tried to drive this wedge between us straight away. But it was interesting because you're on camera, you're on, you know, Fox News and all that sort of stuff. And then they're trying to draw, you know, have this wedge between us, but you can't put a wedge between two people who don't desire it. So what actually showed up was this huge strength that we had as two people choosing what we were choosing. So, I mean, we were joking about maybe we should write a second book called Breaking Up is Easy-ish.
That is a great title.
But you can make it easy-ish.
Yeah. So going back to that thing that Tom was talking about before, that ending a relationship, there's a lot of people that think that ending a relationship means that it's a failure or that their relationship has failed. How do you convince somebody out of that failure mentality? Like, how do you talk someone into knowing that perhaps it's a good thing?
Yeah, well, for myself, it's like I looked at this and I went, okay, it's not personal because it's not. It's not like you've done something wrong. Like when someone has an upset with something, most people in a relationship, so familiar, like in a relationship, they'll go, what have I done? What have I done? Oh my God, you know, have I done something wrong? And usually it's like the other person just requires space. You know, it's nothing is personal with that. So I kept saying to myself that it wasn't personal and then really looking, like being brutally honest at the relationship and going, huh, he was actually right. Like I wasn't as excited to see him anymore. I was grateful to see him, but I didn't get that moment where I was just like, oh yes, because we traveled a lot. So we would be away a lot. And then when we saw each other, it was really exciting. And that wasn't there anymore. So I think you've got to know who you be. And one of the things that we talk about in our book is the five elements of intimacy. And personally, I think if you can have that with you, then you can have that with someone else. And if you have the five elements of intimacy, which is gratitude, trust, allowance, vulnerability, and honor. And if you have that with you, then it's not like you're losing anything. You're not less than because the relationship is broken up. It's literally the relationship is broken up. You're not. And I know it's sometimes a really hard thing to get around. It's like a muscle. But if you keep looking at that and working at that, then something greater can show up. And can I say, it's probably been, I think it's like 2.5-3 years, and I am having such a good time, and so is he. And a friend of mine who her marriage split up about 1.5 years ago, and she was devastated, and she only just said to me the other night, I am so glad my marriage split up. It was amazing. So I really do think that if you recognize that energy that it's done, get the courage, do something about it. Like if you can't change what's not working for you, then move on.
Mm. And Simone, in your recapping of exploring why the your relationship failed.
Not failed, ended.
When someone does that, it must be important, surely, that they be honest with themselves in exploring, like you explore why the relationship died. You have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be ready to question yourself and and what you did and your motives and all those things, right? So it's not one thing. It's not one thing to say, I want to explore why it failed. You have to also be honest. You have to be honest at the table as well, right? With yourself.
Yeah. No, I absolutely. And I mean, one of the things for us, I mean, neither of us were looking to have this like normal, you know, like life. And so we bought a piece of property up here in Perigean Beach in Queensland, and it was right on the beach, beautiful piece of property, met with the architects, building this epic house. It was going to be like the most epic house in Perigean, you know, and building this reality that we were going down this like road of normality, that's not how we met. Like that's not who we were. And I realized once we bought that property, it's like something changed where we started doing this normal relationship and that wasn't us. And I think you've really got to recognize that too. If you start to lose you in the relationship, then just stop for a moment. And I think you're able to talk, if you're able to talk to the person and say, hey, let's get a bottle of champagne or some beers or something like that. And just be like, is this actually working for you? If we could change anything, what is it that you'd like to change? Because don't give up you for a relationship. And I see so many people do that. They start to cut off all the parts and pieces of them. And then all of a sudden the person's looking at them going, that's not the person I wanted to
change,
be with.
Man.
Like,
yeah.
You're half of you. Yeah.
It always drives me nuts when people say my better half or my other half in a relationship.
Me too.
It's something like, honestly, you know, when the Coke was doing the share a Coke with, I would always avoid the better half can because I just didn't agree with it. I just like, I totally agree with you, Simone, is that you need to be your whole full self in a relationship. Yeah. And if a relationship doesn't help you become more of yourself, then what's the point, in my opinion? So look, in terms of, it's really hard to convince somebody who's convinced that they need the marriage, the kids, the white picket fence, that is not something that they need. And honestly, in my particular case, I was so tunnel vision about the light, about walking, you know, down that aisle with somebody that I ignored so many red flags in my last relationship. How do you convince somebody who's been programmed by society to believe that's what they need, that they can find what they need within?
Well, I mean, without sounding like an advertisement, that's why I do the classes, because they're called Relationships Done Different. And you do get really, you know, vulnerable with what's going on. And like I said, it's when you start to get to that crux of what have you decided you need it for, because there's usually this insane point of view that locks you up about it. And if you can get rid of that, it's like then you can actually look at things with clearer eyes and just go, okay, so is this working for me? Like I know, you know, I grew up with my mother's definition of happiness was basically getting married, having kids, getting the house, the white picket fence, the whole thing. And I remember really early on in my life, we were at a family do and I overheard her saying, oh, Simone will be happy when she finds the one. And I was like, are you serious? And I was like, I'm the one that's just like, I'm probably the happiest in our whole family. I've just spent 3 years traveling overseas. But she didn't get that.
Yeah.
To her, happiness was, you've got to find the one. And it's like, okay, so I'm grateful for myself having the courage to go, well, what's true for me? And even if you start with that question, what is true for you? Like, what's true for you in relationships? Like, I don't know about you, but, you know, have you ever seen Downton Abbey?
And that whole, oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like, I love that idea of you've got your room, you've got your own bathroom, he's got his room, his bathroom, you have adjoining doors. It's like you can, you know,
I adore
hook up
that
every night for a year, but then you don't have to. It's like that whole idea is like, yes, I need to make more money and have that be a possibility, you know.
Oh, gosh. Like, honestly, half the fights I had with my exes were about the fact that I can't sleep with another person in my bed. It drives me nuts. So having that separate life, I've got a friend of mine who's actually been married for, I think, 15 years this year, and she and her husband have separate houses. And they're blissfully happy. They're the happiest couple that I know out of anybody. And I think that that's because they have whole lives and they come together because they choose to, you know?
Wow, there you go.
It's pretty amazing, I think. Look, one last thing is what – we'll go back to our opening question, Simone. What does a happy relationship look like to you?
Well, to me, it's choosing what works for you and not buying into anybody else's judgment. Like, I love that you just mentioned that about your friends, because that it's so different that so many people, it would make people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah,
that,
it makes a lot of people go, they're having an affair. What are they hiding?
Yeah. And so when people feel uncomfortable, then they project judgment upon you. And then that's when I see people start to choose less than to try and match the judgments of their friends and family. So what makes a happy relationship is, I mean, you said it right at the beginning, Tom, it's like whatever works for you. It's like, you know, what is that for you? I know for me, it's like, you know, I used to travel 9-10 months of the year. So someone has to be okay with that. And it's like, and, you know, we have a guest room here and quite often it'd probably be half the week that we would actually sleep in different beds. And people would go, oh, you're sleeping in a different bed. And it was like, yeah, I love doing, you know, starfish. And then I also like sleeping with my partner, you know, so different. So I think you've really got to get clear on what works for you with all of it and choose that. Like, please don't choose based on what anybody else is telling you that you should choose.
That is so, so good to hear. That makes me really happy.
It's fantastic. Simone, I was just quickly wondering, if there's is there any old folky advice about relationships that, or any piece of so-called relationship advice that you don't agree with, that you rile against? Anything spring to mind?
That I rile against? I guess that either one, the male or the female, is less than based on the amount of money that they earn.
Yes.
That actually really comes up at the moment. I mean, I've spoken to so many women who now earn more money than the man, but it's like, if you're like, again, like if you're functioning from this reference point of like, men are supposed to do XYZ, but the woman's earning more money. I've had conversations with women going, hey, if you want them to go with you, pay for them. Like, I earned way more money than Brendan at one stage and I wanted him to come, so I paid for him. It's like, what's wrong with that? It's like, so I think the whole money thing is a whole other different topic with how you can be in a relationship. And don't be unkind to the person who's earning less money. It's like, don't treat them as though you own them, because nobody owns anyone. It's like, that's not how a great relationship works. So I would say that.
I'm also super against the belief, there's so many, and some of them are my girlfriends, and I'm just like, how are we friends, that believe that you have to have your dates paid for, that if they don't put up the money, then they're a terrible person. And I'm like, I don't expect people that I don't really know to pay for me. I'm happy to pay for myself. I would hope they don't get offended if I offer to pay for them, you know. I've always said on this podcast, my rule, Simone, is that if I don't actually intend on dating a person, I won't accept when they offer to pay anything at all. Like, but some girlfriends I know go out on dates just to get free meals, and it drives me nuts. These ladies
don't want a date. They want a lunch.
They want a free dinner.
They're worried about the food and not who's sitting across the table from them.
They want drinks.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
They should be paid for looking that good. No one owes anyone anything. Simone, this is the part of the podcast where we normally talk about what we've learned. So from your point of view, I'd like to know what you learned from, I guess, working with your ex after writing a book about relationships. What's a lesson that you learned from that?
That's a good question, because it's like, I mean, I'm going to be honest. It's like, to begin with, I was like, God, why do I work with him? Like, I wish he would just go away.
Of course. That's natural.
And then went, okay, but I like him. I get on well with him, etc. So I know we've said it a few times in this podcast, but I wouldn't mind reiterating it, is that you have all of you. Like, don't give up you. Because when you have all of you, you can handle anything. And it's not about, one of the things I talk about is when something shows up, it's not about going into a reaction. It's like, what action are you going to take? Like, take the action that creates your life to be greater and greater and greater. Because like I always say, this is not a dry run. This is it. We're here. What are you choosing?
That's amazing. I agree. What are you choosing? Tom, what's your lesson?
My lesson is, and I'll attach it to tired tropes in comedies and movies for years and years and years, has been straight person annoyed that they're married or in a relationship and that they have to go home to their husband or wife. And it's been that needs to end. This idea that you can gotta go home to the old ball and chain. Like, this idea that, no, that's your wife. You love her and you're lucky to be with her. Or
get out.
Yeah. So if you do have that mindset, get out of the relationship. It's no fun to you. It's no fun to her, certainly, hearing about it. So yes, putting a stamp on that that sort of tired trope in both fiction and in real life.
But the flip side of that too is, you know Jim Jefferies, the comedian? Yeah. Okay. He does this stint, I think it's hilarious, about sitting in a bar with this guy, and the guy's like, oh, I've finished my beer, I've got to go home to the missus, you know? And he's like, can't you have another beer? And he's like, nah, the missus will kill me. And he goes, you're 50. You're successful, you know? And it's using that as some sort of excuse.
That's right. It's not the principle here.
No. She's not your mum. Look, I learnt that I think you've got to be courageous in your choices, right? So there's a lot of times when people will say to me, you know, oh, well, you'll find the one day. And I'm like, I already have, and it's me, and I'm happy with that. And I think that you need to be courageous in asking for what you want and getting in touch with your brain and your heart and really asking yourself the questions that you would ask a partner. There's so many people who go, you know, do you love me? You know, are we going to be in it together forever? Like turn those questions in on yourself and kind of go, you know, I'm going to date myself. What do I normally give away from myself to a partner that I can turn inward and give to myself? And honestly, that's one of the most fulfilling things that I've found in my dating life is I'm a nurturer in a relationship. I will nurture somebody else and make sure that their well-being is top of mind, often at the expense of myself. But since I have turned that around onto myself and kind of looked after myself the same way that I would look after a partner, it's really sad that it took me being single to do that, but it's really fulfilling. And so, you know, now when people go, you'll find someone, and I'm like, no, thank you. I don't want somebody.
I think it's to know what you want and to actively pursue it.
Yes.
And to go after it is brave and should be applauded.
Yes, so
good on you. I think everyone should try and endeavor a bit of Liz's life.
I mean, you don't have to be single. I'm not saying be single and love it, but choose what you want and know what you want and know who you are enough to be bold in your choices, I think. Simone, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a delightful and empowering conversation for me.
You are so welcome, Liz and Tom. Thank you for having me here.
Now, we'll also pop the details of Simone's seminars and book in our show notes so that if you want to read the book or attend one of the seminars if you're in Queensland, or if do you do online seminars as well, Simone?
I absolutely do online.
So absolutely. We'll pop the links in there because I think, honestly, learning how to be okay alone and to reprogram your mind into choosing what you want to choose, not what society wants you to choose, is something that should be applauded, and they should teach it in schools, quite frankly.
And probably quietly, everyone at home should explore those feelings, those thoughts. I would encourage everyone currently listening to do that. You don't have to make wholesale life changes off the bat, but, you know, maybe
ask yourself the little questions.
Minor adjustments, tweaks. Simone, thank you so much for coming on. Our little platform gives listeners a stepping stone to professionalism and experts above us. So we're only happy to provide those service to you readers. So I hope you click on the notes and explore everything Simone has to offer and to teach.
Simone, you need to write that breakup book as well. I would read the heck out of it.
Okay, all right.
Guys, if you would like to be a guest on our podcast, you can go to ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com or thatsnotcanon.com/ghostsofboyfriendspast and fill out our really easy form to apply to be a guest. And if you've got a story that you don't want to put your voice behind, you can write it in for one of our mini-sodes where we read out your stories back to you.
That's
so that's if you want to kind of remove the details, but you just got to tell someone this great story.
The veil of anonymity will protect you there. Otherwise, on your podcaster of choice, I don't know what it is, be it a Spotify, be it an Apple, hit rate, hit review, hit subscribe, share it with a friend. Someone else will get benefit out of this nonsense, surely. And it's not even nonsense. We've got professionals on now.
I was going to say, how dare you call me nonsense,
Look at
Tom.
Us now, Mum. We're doing it.
Yes, so if you could please tell anybody about the podcast that you think would help them out, that would be great. Simone, thanks again. And guys, we will see you next week for a mini-sode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.